A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe came along and changed everything. With Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. Now I can accept in-person, contactless payments right from my iPhone. No extra hardware required. What's truly remarkable is how I can cater to all of my customers' payment preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe ensure a smooth checkout experience every time. And it's not just me. Stripe helps businesses of all sizes, from local markets to global retailers, scale quickly and stay agile. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
This is Forbidden Speech, The Raw Truth, with your host, Christina Rivera. In this savvy broadcasting series, we delve into hot topics affecting us all. With cancel culture and big tech censoring any opposing ideas and thoughts outside of mainstream ideology, it has become more important than ever that we tell the raw truth about everything from U.S. world politics, COVID, Christianity, and everything in between. We invite all points of view to come and share their perspective honestly and respectfully. Hi, Karen Hinton. Welcome to Savvy Broadcasting's newest series, Forbidden Speech. And boy, do we have a big one for everyone today. You've written a wonderful new book, which we're going to go into, but you're a journalist, a former press secretary to Andrew Cuomo and later New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio. And we're going to discuss your latest book, Penis Politics. Quite a risque title. But let's get started. What even prompted you to write your book?
Well, what prompted me to write the book, Penis Politics, is I had a brain injury back in 2017. I fell off a treadmill, hit my head on a floor that was as hard as concrete, and had to recover from that I'm still in recovery for many things. But the main problems I had after coming out of the hospital was my inability to speak, to read, and to write, and also just think through problems that I was having and how do I feel about them. And so when it came to a current topic in the news, I would try to figure out, what do I have to say about that? And I didn't know how to do it. I just didn't know how to get my thought processes together. And then time passed, and year after year, and I got better. And I started, I happened to come upon a diary that I had written when I was in high school. And it talked about so many things that had happened to me during that time. And it brought back a lot of great memories and a lot of troubling memories too. And I used that to start writing about them. So I could get back to doing being a better writer and a better thinker and speaker. And so that's what I did. I started writing the book, and then I got caught up in the issue of women and men, girls and boys, and what we go through as the different sexes, and how we are different, but how we are similar, and what do we do about this problem that's really facing so many women now? It's pervasive in our life, in our culture, and that sexual harassment and abuse, and sometimes discrimination and misogyny, and even going to the outer spectrum of violence and rape. And so that's why I wrote the book.
Wow, that's phenomenal. You know, what's interesting is it sounds like you used the writing of the book to be cathartic and also just bring about your own healing physically, mentally, and spiritually. And, you know, what's interesting, when I heard that you had a freak accident on a treadmill, my very first time at a gym, I actually got on a treadmill knowing nothing about it. And I picked 4 miles an hour thinking, oh, that's nothing. 4 miles an hour, what's that? I got on the thing, it threw me right off. And wow, those things can be dangerous.
Literally. Did it? Like,
it did. It did. I of course didn't hit my head, thank God. But yeah, it scared it scared me.
gyms don't do enough to educate their members about their machines in general, but specifically about treadmills. And that's one of the things I've complained about ever since. And then also have protection under the machines so you can have soft mats. But what if you had a heart attack? What if you had a stroke? What if you know, these are common diseases that we face, especially when we get older. So gyms need to do more. Yes.
I like that. Yeah. You mentioned that. It's a good. Well, right now, a couple of times I've gone, they said, hey, let's do something. No. Go, not going anywhere near that death trap. But Mark. back to your book. I'm grateful you wrote it because it does bring to light some of the problems, the disparities between men and women in a very male centric world. You worked in the newsroom, you worked in the halls of Congress in a very male centric. And I myself in boardrooms across America. And when you're in that kind of situation, I find myself, I often try to act very masculine to kind of match and compete with males. And we've got our own strength. We don't need to compete with men in that fashion. What's your take?
Yes, that is my take completely. And, I've been thinking about that very question now in the last few weeks. And it really, for me, it comes down to, what do I want from my life? And what do I not want from my life? And let's try to avoid what we don't want, right? And so that's what I think we should do as women is, do I really want to talk and act like a man? No, that's not what I want. I want to be me. I want to be myself. And we all should just grasp onto that theory and hold on to it, because what we are is unique and different, women to women, women to men. And let's take advantage of that, because within all of that is a talent that could be used for your neighbor, for your boss, or for yourself, or for your family. And that's why I think that really is the right way to approach that dynamic between men and women.
Yeah, we all have our different strengths, and trying to match up to a male-centric, it tired me out. But now let's talk about sexual assault or abuse. It's interesting. One of my very first interviews way back when I was 20, I went to a company and they interviewed me. I really wanted the job and I didn't get it. And I was really upset, but it's a huge company. I'm not going to mention their name, but I found out there were a lot of, after I didn't get the interview or the job, that there were a lot of complaints of sexual harassment at this place. And so thank God I didn't get the job. Now, what does a newbie entering into the job market where they might come into contact with sexual abuse of some nature, how do they begin to deal with it, transverse through it? What would be some of your advice on that front?
Well, I believe it's a question you should ask of people who know something about the company, who know someone inside the company, another woman, perhaps, and ask that question. Also ask that question of the HR department. I mean, there's nothing wrong with asking that question. It doesn't mean that you are immediately disbarred from the job. But we should prepare ourselves for any kind of toxic work environment. And if you don't want to be in it, and I think the vast majority of women don't, then it's good to prepare yourself and know what's coming. And if it's not what you're what you want to be part of, then don't take the job. But I also want to encourage women to speak out about any problem they're having in the workforce. There are people who can help you. It could be the HR, maybe not, depending on the dynamics of an HR department. But there's also the EEOC. You can also talk to other women in the job. You can also talk to men who you think will be respectful of you and not use it against you. Also, I think that as time has passed from the 60s and the 70s, when women's rights were largely ignored, to today, when there is at least the Me Too movement out there cheering for women, that it's not done by any means, but there's a growing sense of morality and ethics that's involved here, not just regulations and laws, which are very important. We have to also take on the fact that it's the right thing to do. And how hard is it to do, to show respect and be professional with a woman? Men love their mothers, so you want to always show her respect, or most men do. So do the same with the women that you work with, the women that you're married to, the women you date, the women you are in school with, the women you coach in a sports program. Show respect and treat them as humans, not as some sort of object.
Yeah. Those are awesome points. And one thing I came to realize is there'll be things said in the non-language. I'd gone on interviews where I said, "So do you like working here?" to some women working there, the HR. And they'll be like, "Oh yeah, I love it." And you could tell from their body language that not so much. So I would say listen sometimes, not only to the asking the questions of HR or other people who work at the company, but also their body language. What are they not telling you in their words? Perhaps maybe they feel stilted and they can't speak out. They feel because they need their paycheck. But now on the other front, as you've mentioned, it's so important that we do speak out if we see something, if one of our coworkers are treated offensively, that we don't just all hush-hush go to the water cooler and say, "Oh, this is horrible. This didn't happen." We need to stand up and feel it's okay. And I think the more we stand up as a unit, meaning not just say, "Oh, let them deal with it," but we come together and say, "We're going to," like you and your friends did in your book, you came together and approached a person that had done that to your friend, it really makes a difference, because now it's not one person doing it. It's a group.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Unity is important. And I think it's important for women to show that unity, both publicly as well as within a company. So as many women as interested who want to join in those movements that exist now, Me Too movement and others, it's important to be part of that and let it grow and let it really even show, have more impact on what companies as well as just individuals in their own lives.
Yeah. What I've found, Karen, is when people come together in unison, it makes such an impact. You can make massive changes in a job, in government, if you come together in unison and say, "Hey, this is something that matters to us and we can make a difference."
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes.
I'm certain that you've written your book with the inspiration behind it that you want to pass on certain knowledge and wisdom to the readers. Mm-hmm. What do you hope most people will take away after reading your book?
What I really hope is that when they read my stories, and I don't lecture. I may sound like I've been lecturing for the last few minutes, but in my book, I try not to lecture. I try not to lay out, "Here are five things you need to do." I don't do that. I just tell my stories of what happened to me from teenager to 63, practically, but also what happened to my friends, my girlfriends, my women friends as I got older. And so I try to tell stories. And I hope that women will do the same thing, that they will suddenly feel comfortable talking about these very things that happened to me. And they'll read my story and say, "Hey, something like that happened to me too. Here's what it is." And spread the word. Let other men, let men know that it's happened to someone they care about. You know, the husband, the brothers, the sons, their male colleagues at a reception where you're going, and it may come up as a topic. You know, don't be timid. Get out there and talk about it. And there are more and more women who are ready to do that, I believe. And I want to just do a shout out to Tish James, the Attorney General in New York, who did this investigation into the former governor, Andrew Cuomo of New York. Because she stood up, you know, a lot of attorney generals have not done this in the past, and she did it. Good for her, you know. And one of the things she said was, I believe the 11 women. And too often law enforcement, too often bosses, too often husbands don't believe what the woman is saying. And before you're innocent till proven guilty, sure, but the woman needs to be taken seriously and needs to not just be dismissed.
Yeah, absolutely. The allegations need to be fully looked into and see, is there something to this? In my 20s in a dance class, I had been sexually assaulted by the teacher and after class, and I didn't tell anyone for almost a year. And I felt very guilty. Like I must've brought this about. And when I did tell some of my friends, like, well, you should have brought it to the police. You should have told the school, but I thought they'll blame me because he told me to come work and do some dance with him in another place. So I went with him. So it's my fault. So we make up these things in our head, blaming ourselves and saying, no one will believe us.
Ourselves. Right. Mm-hmm. And the sexual harassers blame the victims too. It's always the first thing out of their mouths is she misinterpreted what I said or did, or that didn't happen that way. I mean, that was Andrew Cuomo's line time after time after time, even though there was lots of evidence to prove otherwise. And we have to stop blaming victims. We have to really listen to what they're saying and then determine what the best actions are. Whether it's in a workplace or at home or on a sports team.
Yeah, absolutely. And with like Andrew Cuomo and other people of high level, I think a lot of women like myself, I probably would have not said something with the idea that he's too high, too up there for me to touch. And it'll just bring negative assault against me. So let me not go there. And we need to stop doing that because it doesn't matter what your position is. Everyone needs to be held accountable if they do sexual assault or any crime. Yeah.
Well, my book opens with a story about four girls, myself included, who are best friends and have learned to depend upon each other for all decisions, any major decision. And I'm talking about how to cut our hair was a major decision. We would come together as a group and discuss it, right? Or who we were going to go have a date with, or did so-and-so like us? And what did we think of so-and-so and all that? And, but then one day we get a call from one of the, Janice is this friend of mine who is sexually abused, essentially raped in the book room of our school. And we're 16 and she calls us and she wants us to get together and talk about it. Which we do, and we're shocked and we can't believe it. But the first thing we say is, you've got to tell the principal. You've got to tell your parents. You know, this is terrible. He should be, you know, arrested. He should be put in jail. I mean, we just can't believe this has happened to someone we all four knew and respected. And suddenly that whole dynamic, that whole picture of him changes. And the first thing she says is, I can't do that. I'm scared to do that. It will mean they'll blame me. He will say that nothing happened. It'll be, I can't do it. I'm not going to do it. And you're not going to do it. I'm just telling you because you're my best friends. And so we kept it to ourselves. I really only wrote about it for the first time in this book, really. And so... You know, it just takes a lot to get to a place where you can speak openly, especially when you've known this person for a long time and you have respect for him, too.
Absolutely. And I would implore also parents before that incident when I was 20, I had one when I was younger, another guy sexually assaults me. I brought it to my parents and they totally said I lied and fibbed and made it up. So I would implore parents, if it sounds nutty that your kids come to you with a story, just really listen to them out and explore it, because you don't want your kids going through life holding that inside and not having it dealt with. Well, we could go on a long time, but I want everyone to get a copy of your book. How could they do that? It's going to be coming out soon.
Well, thank you so much. And I'm glad you told your stories too. And that's what I hope readers will take away, is an interest in telling their stories.
Yeah. Not hide anymore. Well, I see here that you can get a pre-order of your book, Penis Politics, at Amazon, as well as check out more about the book at penis-politics.com. And Karen, thank you so much for being brave and sharing your story so openly. And I hope others will do that and not hold back anymore. Parents, listen to your kids. And thank you so much, Karen, for coming to Savvy Broadcasting today.
Yes. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
You betcha.
Okay.
Like, subscribe, and share this episode. To listen to more Forbidden Speech or Savvy episodes, visit SavvyBroadcasting.com. To find out about our paid sponsorship opportunities or how to become a guest, email Christina at LifeUnscriptedRadio.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe came along and changed everything. With Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. Now I can accept in-person, contactless payments right from my iPhone. No extra hardware required. What's truly remarkable is how I can cater to all of my customers' payment preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe ensure a smooth checkout experience every time. And it's not just me. Stripe helps businesses of all sizes, from local markets to global retailers, scale quickly and stay agile. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.